texting in to ABC Central West this morning. I'm Alex James. So have you got a pet at home, a dog or a cat? I'm sure you do the right things, right? I mean, of course we do. You know, we feed them the right stuff. We walk them when they need walking. We give them things to do. They've got comfortable beds and a cute little jacket. But when was the last time you looked at their teeth? What? Dr. Maya Yaffe is with us from Orange Vet Hospital. Maya, thank you for joining us this morning.
Good morning, Alex. Thanks for having me on.
So we should be looking at dogs and cats' teeth.
We should be. It's one of those sort of silent diseases. Often, you know, people are looking out for pain in their limbs or them being off their food or lethargic. But there's this underlying disease that's probably, in fact, I think the statistic at the moment is that it's thought that up to 80% of dogs and cats over the age of 3 have dental disease that does require treatment.
Okay.
It can be a very, very painful thing. And, you know, in severe cases, the reason it can become quite dangerous in that it can, these localized infections can end up spreading into the bloodstream and the kidneys and other organs and actually affect systemic health as well as local inflammation and pain as well.
Oh, and so, I mean, it's incredibly important, but I mean, I guess I've got dogs and cats and for me, I'm like, oh, okay, he's not jumping on the couch properly. You probably need to go and talk about arthritis or, oh, he's not eating, you know, and he's a bit lethargic. So, you know, might need to jump to the vet. But how do we notice that there might be something wrong with our pet's teeth?
Yeah, that's a tricky one, and they can often be very subtle. Our pets like to hide chronic pain quite well, especially cats. They're survivors, and they don't like to show us that they're uncomfortable. So a few of the things that you can notice at home can be, I mean, the more obvious ones being that they're not wanting to chew on their hard food or kibble as much. Mm. They might be favouring one side of their mouth when they're eating. Sometimes they could be hypersalivating. They could be dropping food out of their mouth. But sometimes you don't notice any of that, and it can simply be that they've got bad breath. And in normality, animals shouldn't have bad breath. A lot of people think that that's actually just the normal thing. Oh, they're a dog, they've got bad breath, but that actually is a sign of dental disease going on. So, as I said, it can be really subtle, and if you're ever in doubt, just pop over to the vet and we can have a look at their teeth for you as well.
Okay, so let's say theoretically we do see this, you know, pup's dropping a bit more food than what you think he should. We've bundled him up, taking him to the vet. What do you guys do?
So what we do is we'll start with a dental check. We'll look at their teeth. We'll have a look at commonly the plaque or the calculus that's built up, which is that sort of that brown discoloration. And we can also see how much inflammation is going on and reddening of the gums above it. That can be a bit of an indicator. Mm. But I sort of think of teeth as what we see is the tip of the iceberg. There is so much more going on under the gum line that we simply can't see. We don't have x-ray vision, unfortunately, in the consult room. We'll often, if we see any signs of dental disease, we might recommend to do a dental procedure, which is where we'll actually, unfortunately, I envy dentists in human dentists, where their patients can just lie there and open their mouths for them. But we don't have that luxury. Mm. So we do have to do a general anesthetic.
Oh, okay.
And then we have different tools to assess the extent of disease. We have a sharp little instrument called a dental probe, and we can see how much that sinks into the gum line. And importantly, there's dental radiography, which is becoming a new standard of veterinary medicine, where we can actually assess what sort of underlying bone pathology or disease is going on around those root structures as well.
Wow. So I mean, we're even at the point now where you can like do x-rays and stuff on their mouths.
Yeah, and these x-rays, they used to be considered the gold standard of veterinary care, and now they're just considered the standard of veterinary care.
Wow.
There are things such as root fractures, abscesses, I suppose the lysis or the death of bone that's surrounding the teeth, and all of these are indications for us to extract the teeth. Sometimes we don't see that just by looking at the tooth above the gum line, and so that's why it's quite important to do the radiography as well, so that we can have a really good idea of what's going on you know, holistically, and it makes, if we do need to pull those teeth out during the dental procedure, it makes the extraction a lot safer. And during this time, every animal that goes through a dental procedure in our clinic will also get a really thorough scale and polish. So that's where we clean the teeth well and remove all of the plaque and the calculus that's creating this perfect environment for bacteria to proliferate and causing the localized disease.
Hmm. 5 minutes away from 10 o'clock, Dr. Maya Yaffe is with us from Orange Vet Hospital. When was the last time you thought about your dog or cat's dentistry? It might not be something that you always think about, but we're hearing why it's incredibly important. Have we been, I mean, talking a bit about, you know, having to put them under and for, you know, for dogs anyway is what I keep thinking about, you know, looking at the, you know, you kind of do the descaling and the like. Is it the same procedure with cats if we take them in? Do you put them under and prod around their mouth, I guess?
Yeah, very similar. Absolutely.
Okay.
There are certain challenges that dogs have that cats don't and that cats have that dogs don't. They've got different numbers of teeth, etc. But it's a very similar concept. The one thing being that cats, I think, probably hide their pain and their discomfort a bit better than dogs do. So it's equally as important to get your cat's teeth checked out just as much as dogs.
Okay. So theoretically, we've gone in, we've had the dental procedure. What happens after that?
Yeah, so it's certainly, that's a great question and very important, because it's not the case of, okay, the vet does their thing and then we can forget it for the rest of the year. Ongoing management at home is just as much part of their dental care as what we do in the clinic. And so the gold standard for dental care is actually brushing your pet's teeth. If you
what?
You might not
oh,
have considered
on.
That you can do that.
Hold on. What do you mean brushing their teeth?
Yeah. So there are special little pet toothbrushes. And, you know, a lot of the time people say, oh, I tried that and they absolutely did not tolerate it. And I don't really blame the animal for not being stoked about that. And I sort of say that if you're wanting to consider brushing your pet's teeth, which is the gold standard of dental care, making it a really positive, almost a training experience. So when you're starting out, just show them the toothbrush, give them a treat, get them used to that object itself before you actually try to put it in their mouths, and okay. Then get closer and closer, touch their lips. Give them a treat, do that for a week, and then eventually they might start to think, hang on, that toothbrush thing that's going on there, that's not so bad. I get some good snacks afterwards. So they might start to let you get closer to their teeth and allow you to start brushing. It's that mechanical shearing motion that's really important. And, you know, I can appreciate that that's not necessarily going to be the answer for everybody. It's quite a difficult thing to do daily. And so if that's not achievable for you, then there are certain dental diets that have good evidence for being really, really helpful for reducing the plaque buildup on the teeth. The idea being that they don't really crush when they bite down on them, and it actually the tooth gets sheared as it bites into the kibble.
That's how it works.
Yeah, and so that cleans it off with the plaque. There are a bunch of other things that we can recommend as well, but it's mostly the mechanical motion of cleaning that teeth that needs to be occurring daily to every second day to be making a big difference in preventative care.
Okay. And so then, I mean, what about cats? Can we brush their teeth?
Again, less so, but, you know, some cats, I do know people who've trained their cats to tolerate that. And
really?
So, yeah.
Wow.
But if you're ever in doubt, you know, there are things like water additives and other sort of chew toys and stuff that we can recommend. So even if you've got a cat, regardless of the species, come talk to us and we can make a dental plan that's appropriate for the demeanor of your pet.
And I mean, interesting what you say as well is, I mean, this obviously sounds like ongoing home care after the procedure, but to a degree that it sounds preventative as well, doing
absolutely.
Some of those things?
Absolutely.
Okay.
Right. There's a certain extent, you know, if there's calculus and tartar caked onto your pet's teeth,
yeah.
Then unfortunately these diets and teeth brushing isn't going to get rid of it, which is why I recommend getting that clean done. But once that's done, then prevention is always better than treatment. Both, it's cheaper for the owners, but it's also just in terms of a quality of life perspective, so much better for the animal if they don't need to be going under anaesthetic every year and getting those teeth cleaned as
absolutely.
Well.
Absolutely. Yeah. Maya, thank you so much for coming in today.
My pleasure, Alex. Thanks for having me.
Good on you. That's Dr. Maya Yaffe there from Orange Vet Hospital.